Back with Lloyd, and we're talking about bringing order to chaos. Lloyd has not had chaos in his life. That's a joke. But, you know, we're thinking about when we do decide to believe or not decide and brought to our knees, however it happens, it doesn't really matter. When we want to justify that there's something out there, you know, like Lloyd, you said at one point, you came to the point where it didn't really matter what it was, but it was something out there, it was something higher, and you're going to connect with that entity in some way so you could draw on some of that power to get what you needed to get to put your life on track, as you saw it needing to be on track at the time. So, you know, and you found a way to do that. And, you know, and I don't know today, and I'm not asking you to tell me, and I don't know exactly, you know, what that God looks like in your head, because even if you could explain it to me, I still couldn't see it the way you see it. You know what I mean? Nobody sees anything the same way. We can look at a picture on the wall and describe it, but that doesn't mean I can see it the way you describe it, you know, because every word that comes out of your mouth means a different thing to this brain, just because we're wired that way, you know, so that we can all be unique. Nobody sees anything the same way. So for those of us out there who are still fighting to make people see things the way we do, give it up, buddy, give it up, because it ain't going to work. But anyway, when we're looking at something to believe in, and this has kind of been the path for me over the years, you know, we look to sources, or we look to other people usually to find out not how they see things so much, but you know, what the foundation, what the basis is for whatever they believe in, and how that works. And I always go back to scriptural references, because it's the only place I can find the things that I find that I need today. Even with, you know, with the internet and everything, with a wealth of knowledge, and, you know, I can literally find out something about anything in a nanosecond. And that's great. And I love that stuff, by the way. I like to play with that. But there are some things... there are fads out there. There's writers come along, and they got a phenomenal approach. Everybody loves them, or nobody loves them, whatever. But then a year, two, 6 months, whatever, then that kind of falls by the wayside, and out comes something else, you know. And it's a constant changing, and to fit into the worldliness of this planet, we've got to understand that a little, and understand that if we can't accept change in our life, our ongoing fast pace today, we're probably not going to get anywhere. So somehow we have to be able to deal with that fast pace, take part in it, and yet not allow it to run our lives. You know, at least I can't let it run in my life, because if my life is run by anything other than, you know, God and the will he gave me to make some decisions, then I'm not feeling right about it. But my point is, I can always go back to what I've learned in these scriptural references, and in my mind, they're the truth, you know, like expression and, you know, and different kinds of freedoms that we always talk about, and being set free, you know, by divulging our secrets as opposed to keeping them inside, like we're taught, you know, dirty laundry is not to be put out. Well, how's it supposed to get clean, you know, but I mean, things like that. But anyway, when I look just at the world, and this is just the way my head works, I don't know whether I was born mathematically or something, but when I just look at the stars, or I go to a different place like you did, and see a sunset that looks a little different, or a sunrise that looks a little different, or go to a seashore and the sound of the waves on that seashore are a little different than they were when I was, you know, we'll say around the Mediterranean Sea or around the Atlantic Ocean as opposed to the Pacific, like, and there's a different smell, you know, there's a, but it's consistent, and it's large, and it's huge, you know, and I just love to go back to the sense that all of these things, you know, the water that moves back and forth around this planet as it spins and stuff, you know, creating tides and all those things, they work with such order and such perfection, you know, and going back to this thing that says today, bringing order to chaos, it's almost as though you know, the waters, the movement, the tide that we can, get down to seconds, you know, when it's going to end, when it's going to start, and so on, by using things we've learned, it carries so much weight in my life. And to know that 3 months from now it'll be warm, you know, for instance, and in 6 months leaves will be starting to look at going away again, and it'll get cooler, and so on. I can count on a whole bunch of things that I couldn't count on in any other way, other than believing that something, someone, some entity has put this thing in motion, and something keeps it in motion, and it operates in perfection. So, you know, maybe everything operates in perfection, and even the rough parts are all pieces of that overall perfection that comes together, hopefully, in a heaven-like existence in the next realm. You know, like that, I think that's the hope of most people, that we're not going to go 24/7 for 80 years and drop dead, go back to the dust, but and have nothing of what we lived. You know, we can't imagine that there's anything, you know, more devastating than that blackness that would, you know what I mean by that? Just, yeah. You know, getting into the ground, whether you're burned up or whether you're whole. And I don't know, it's a morbid kind of thought, but I think, anyway, logically, we move on for the simple reason that, you know, I've watched leaves, I've watched grass, I've watched flowers wither and, you know, and so seemingly going into the dust and into the ground and over and over and over and over. But the thing I saw was that there was life in the green leaf, there was life in the green grass, there was life in the chickadee singing its song, and there was life in all these things. And then these things that held life became withered and became useless and went back to the dust. So that meant to me that this life that was in them left them. So in other words, life kept in motion, never stopped. You know, life, the entity, the soul of things, the entity, the beginning, the center, it never disappeared. It was always there, but it moved from medium to medium. And I like to think of us as you as a Lloyd entity, J as a J entity, Scott as a Scott entity, and we do our time in this cage, if you will, you know, in the cage of flesh and blood and so on, and then we move on to a spiritual existence that I believe is pretty wonderful, you know, unless for some reason we set it up wrong and go the wrong way in the end. So I think the prevention is all about that. But coming to believe in your mind again, and you did tell us the story of, you know, getting to a point where you needed something, you know. Today, when you, you know, if you were asked to talk about that, would you say you communicate even now, like, you know, do you pray, like, before you come to do something, before you come to start a new entity, like your YouTube channel and things like that? Do you go to your source in any way, or how does life work for you? Just as, you know, and whatever the answer is, it's fine, by the way, so there's no test here.
No, I just feel like it, that there is something that drives me, you know, there's something that leads me. Because I like I said, when I walked out of that hotel room, there was no reason to. You know, the table was still full, and everybody was still around it. And I just got up and walked out. And thank God I did, because...
thank God. You know,
yeah, thank God I did. Because everybody's dead now. Like, everybody that was sitting at that table is dead now. Real and... dead. You know, I walked away from it, and I don't know why. I know it was my thought, because, you know, I had paid money to be at that table. And for some reason, I just God spared my life and put me on a different direction. And, you know, I'm so grateful, and, you know, I'm thankful for you, Scott, for, mm-hmm. you know, for guiding me like you have since we came into contact. You know, and for bringing me on the show, and for Jason, you know, and I think I've grown mm-hmm. spiritually, and I think I've grown to the point that I'm starting to give back and help other people now. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just a great feeling.
Yeah, And service becomes, you know, probably the most important thing at some point in our lives, or at least from time to time. And you're looking at different kinds of services, and one of them is your YouTube channel. And I know, as you talked about Sheldon and so on before, that your idea is to give people with the truth, in a way, you know, with a true story, and a story, as we do here, sometimes not perfect story, story that ends in a tragic way, in a sense, yet a hopeful way for others in another sense. And Sheldon would be a good example, I think, because he, you know, having gone blind due to the abusive substance, he still has a bigger smile than you, is what you said earlier.
It's
so
surprising, too.
Well, this is the story people have to know. Here's a man who's gone blind, and to many people, nothing could be worse, in their heads anyway, than going blind. He may have thought that in the past, who knows. But he did go blind, and he still has that smile. So no matter what happens to a person, there is hope, you know, and Sheldon carries it on. And as you said, I mean, he attributes his salvation, his healing, and all this to a God he understands, whether it's a God of scriptures like me or whatever it is, doesn't really matter. But he has a handle on something that he thinks has been integral to his healing. And he wants to share that, you know. And for the 100 that won't listen to him anymore, yeah, you know, there'll be at least 2 or 3 times that who have listened. And even if they don't listen, and even the guys who won't listen, there's some seed sown in those people. You know, when people turn away, the thing that turns away is more memorable to them than 99% of all the good times I think they've had in their lives. So, you know, what makes the biggest dent in things are often the things that we find uncomfortable, ugly, or whatever, and turn away from. So, you know, things that look bad are often really good. And vice versa.
I'd like to get him on the show, and you know, because he seems to have a story that he wants to get out to the world.
Yeah,
and it's a good story, and I would like to get him on the show.
Yeah, on this one.
Absolutely. Well, he's got work issues, and because he's not, he didn't just sit back and be pitied for himself. Yep. And, you know, he went out and got a job, and and he does work, and it's just fascinating. He's so inspirational and keeps me going as well.
Well, what's he doing anyway now? You say he works.
Yeah, he's a receptionist at a place, at an establishment downtown Toronto. But he's so fascinating because, like, I would be, you know, sometimes I look at him and I'd say, like, if it was me, I'd be, like, really upset at God, at the world for my condition. But he's not. He's upbeat and so inspirational.
Funny how when we look at people who appear different, and blind people always appear different to the sighted people, because it's as though either they keep their eyes closed so you can't see what they're doing, or they are kind of like, you know, in our minds, they're looking around to see something, but they can't see anything. And it's hard to even fathom, you know, what that is like, unless you're there, yet the man smiles. So there's hope for the blind person, even if he doesn't become sighted again, even if he can never see. So,
like, I close my eyes and try to mimic how he is, and I'm thinking, like, wow, it's just fascinating, you know.
Imagine if he could see you doing that.
But he's a wonderful guy. He's a wonderful person.
Yeah.
You know, he thinks that God purposely made him go blind as ramification of not listening. But, you know, I don't really know about that.
Yeah. But if it drives him,
yeah.
Then that's good, you know. Because I would say it's probably, you know, if this God of all things, the Almighty, loves us all the way so many people say he or she does, then we must determine that all these things are, like I said before, part of that perfect puzzle. And 100 years is a very short time for eternity, if you know what I mean. So although we think it's forever here, and when we get to my age of 70, we're saying, what do I got, 10, 20 maybe? You know, how many of those am I going to be able to express, think, relate, or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, it's just the way our minds work. But eternity is a long time. And again, this fellow, by taking the attitude, well, I got to thank my God that I ended up this way, because I have a very sincere, strong purpose in life now. I have a story that I'm moved from the inside out to tell, because, and I'm not sure why, but because, likely because God wants me to, and there are people who need to hear this story if they're going to be able to live with a similar situation that I have to live in. So in many ways, this opportunity afforded me, it will allow me to get to people, to tell them how I've survived, and to smile at them and give them the hope. Whether they see my smile or feel it from my heart, doesn't matter. They will have the hope to go on. I think our friend Jay, our production man, even in relating his story last week, came up with that same thing. All of the things that have hit him and hit him hard, make him so much more valuable to society, you know, and even this warped society that does exist on this planet, we still want to make people healthy and show them that there's a good way of life, even here in the midst of this chaos. So, I don't know, any thoughts along those lines, Lloyd, or am I just...
I was just listening to you.
Anyway, okay, keep your thoughts together. Put some good ones on there, and we'll take another break and maybe listen to a song, depending on our production man. And either way, we'll probably be back in about a minute or so. Is that right, Jay?
Yeah, so I think it's time for a song, and here's one from Randy Travis. It's called Forever and Ever, Amen. Fits right in with the show. We'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.
This love that I feel for you always will be. But you're not just time that I'm killing. I'm no longer one of those guys. As sure as I live, this love that I give is gonna be yours until the day that I die. Takes its toll on the body, makes the young girl's brown hair turn gray. Well, honey, I don't care, I ain't in love with your hair. And if it all fell out, well, I'd love you anyway. They say time can play tricks on memory, make people forget things they see. It's happening to me. I've already forgotten every woman but you. Oh, darling, I'm gonna love you forever. Forever and ever, amen. As long as old men sit and talk about the weather. As long as old women sit and talk about old men. If you wonder how long listen to how this song ends. I'm gonna love you forever and ever, forever and ever, amen. I'm gonna love you forever and ever, forever and ever, forever and ever, forever and ever, amen.